What kind of tree is that? Wait, I know. It's an apple tree.
How can you tell?
Because it's got apples on it. Apples are my favorite fruit. No, oranges. Wait, bananas. Bananas are definitely my favorite.
My favorite fruit is love.
Love? Love isn't a fruit.
Sure it is. Love is a fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the what?
The fruit of the Spirit. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we walk with the Holy Spirit, that's the fruit we can expect to see in our lives.
I'm not a tree. I don't have fruit.
The fruit of the Spirit doesn't grow on trees. It grows in us because of what we are. An apple tree naturally makes apples. An orange tree naturally makes oranges. And a banana tree makes...
bananas!
Right. And all who follow Jesus have God's Holy Spirit living inside them. So when they choose to let God's Holy Spirit guide them, what naturally comes out is...
love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control?
Right. All the fruit of the Spirit. And just like you can tell an apple tree by its apples, the fruit of God's Holy Spirit lets others know that we belong to God. But without the power of God's Holy Spirit, Paul says a different fruit grows in us, the fruit of our sinful nature.
That does not sound good.
It isn't. That fruit is selfishness, pride, anger, envy, disobedience, greed, fighting, and anything that keeps us from getting along with each other and loving others the way God does. That fruit always makes us want more stuff, because we think stuff can make us happier than God can. That fruit leaves us empty instead of full.
Ew, I don't want that fruit. I want love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But I get angry sometimes, and I'm not very patient. Guess I'll just have to try harder.
Paul tells us trying harder won't get us anywhere. That's because our own strength only lasts a little while. But those who follow Jesus have declared that their sinful nature is dead. Now we can choose to live by the power of God's Holy Spirit instead. We can spend time with Him and pray and get to know Him, for real. And as we get to know God's Holy Spirit more...
I know. The power of God's Holy Spirit will make more of the fruit of the Spirit grow in us. Like bananas!
Like bananas.
I like bananas, right? And then I like the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do you like bananas? Do you like the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? And it is written in the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And this passage comes after these words in verse 16 and 17. So I say, live by the Holy Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires controlled by sin do not want what the Spirit delights in. The two are at war with each other. That's why you are not supposed to do whatever you want. Then Paul gives a somber list of the acts of the flesh. Surely the list tells us about the truth that we humans tend to act as we want and desire, and makes us think about how such actions that are produced by our selfish desires are found in our culture and social system. Yes, social evils prevail and get systematized when people with the power and money act following their desire to boost their power and following their desire for more power and money. Paul here prescribes us a remedy. When we say yes to Jesus Christ and yes to the Holy Spirit, we say no to our selfish desires and not just do whatever we want. And in dazzling contrast to the list of the acts of the flesh, Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit. Paul uses this metaphor to help us understand better what it means to say yes to Jesus, yes to His Spirit, to walk, live, and be led by the Spirit in our lives. Fruit is indeed a key to understanding what Paul is saying here. Fruit is the natural product of life, isn't it? If a tree is alive, it will bear fruit. How old or how young the tree is doesn't matter as much as whether the tree is alive or not. Fruit is what you get when a tree has life within it. So what Paul is saying with his list of beautiful qualities of a person's life is this. These are the qualities that God will produce in a person's everyday, ordinary human life because the life of God himself is at work within them. Right? Okay, if because God works in us and when we will automatically bear fruit, but this does not mean that we don't have to do any to bear fruit of the Spirit. Rather, this means that the fruit of the Spirit is all about Christian character. The focus is not on what performance we can achieve, but on what kind of a person we can be. Because what God does in us is to help us become more and more like Jesus. So for the next 2 months, let's cultivate our Christian character. Is it only me who feel from time to time frustrated at seeing what kind of person I am and I am not? And I've been feeling that way more often these days while spending more time with my family. The other day, I was embarrassed when a recording of my voice was being played from my phone. And this is what happened. My 5-year-old boy, Clay, loves to play with my smartphone to videotape the happenings around him. From one of the video clips that he recorded, I was hearing my voice talking to my family. And in the recorded voices of mine, I sounded like a person less grateful, rather grumbly, not gentle, not pleasant. And it was a shocking experience to encounter in the recording with the kind of person that I definitely don't want it to be. Again, is it me alone who feel there is a need to cultivate our character? So with this series, let's take time to look into our inner being and with the help of the Holy Spirit, let the fruit of the Spirit ripen in our own lives. Okay, that's an introduction to this series, and we may come back to such introduction later in this series in order to be reminded of the context of this passage. And now let's talk about love, which is what Paul put on the top of the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's not surprising, right? Paul is known to be the writer of the 1 Corinthians, of which the 13th chapter is all about what? Love. And it starts in these words. If I speak in the language of human beings or an angel or do not have a faith, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Then Paul describes what love is, what it looks like being loving, right? The favorite wedding passage follows. Love is patient, love is kind, and so on. And another favorite of mine is Colossians chapter 3, and this is also known as a letter that Paul wrote to his fellow believers. He first listed acts of sinful desires that we shouldn't do, and then he said what virtues we should do pursue. Here he comes in verse 14 saying, "And over all those good things, put on love. Love holds them all together perfectly as if they were one." Love is the foundation and top of all the attributes of Christian character, and love is the unifying and perfecting virtue of all the others. And important is that in putting love first, Paul is echoing Jesus. When Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment in the law, he responded with two, one from Deuteronomy, one from Leviticus, saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. And another important teaching of Jesus on love is at the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who hurt you. Then you will be children of your Father in heaven. And in a different book, the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus' voice very clear. I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Like this, if anything can be said to be crucial, a central, primary, and essential to being a Christian and to becoming Christ-like, it must be love. Not a kind of love that the world tosses around so easily that it begins losing its meaning. This is not a kind of love that we mean when we say, I love this music, I love this food, and I love baseball more than football. Christian love is evidence and reflections of what is in and of God our Lord, because God is love, as we read it in 1 John chapter 4 today. Love is evidence of life and evidence of a faith and evidence that God is at work in our lives. That way, love shows and proves God. Again, God is love. Jesus, by his life, death, and resurrection, manifested God's love for us. The cross is the ultimate proof of God's love. But listen, the cross is not just the means by which we are saved, but also the model for how we are to live. Again, the cross is not just means by which we are saved, but also the model for how we are to live. Okay, here, now, by now, you might be thinking to yourself that what I did in my sermon so far this morning is pretty much what? To read the Bible to you and say what you already know important, right? Right? And then you may say, oh, pastor, get paid for that? Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Totally fine. Reading the scripture passages on love, that is enough, as these passages are straightforward in delivering their messages. Reminding you of what you already know important, that's fine. That's what I believe my vocation is about. So now, okay, what I wanted to do for next 5 minutes in the ending of this sermon is invite you to ask yourselves whether you live what you know that are important. Or do you keep making excuses for not doing it? We believe that God is the source of love. Jesus has become a model of love. Then, to a call from our God to love the unlovable, to understand others who are different from us, how do you respond when it is not easy, but believe to be worth striving to do? Then, do you look at Jesus and ask for his divine love to fill you and empower you to love the unlovable and understand those who are different from you? Or do you decide to stay in the comfort of loving and associating with those who you feel easy to love? We are supposed to be the living proof of the loving God. No one can see God, but people can see us. And when we love others, first loving one another in this community of faith and loving others across all barriers, it's obvious that people can see the love of God. This might all sound positive, even naively optimistic? I know it is, but that is true. In this country, what we really need is Christ-like love, a love that is not me-centered, but putting others ahead. And Christ-like love is barrier-dissolving. The love that Christ shows us and calls us to do follow is a love that is to treat others as God's beloved, made in God's image. What we need in our works to heal the brokenness of our country is truly our Christ-like love. Because we wanted to love this way, one thing, when we wanted to love this way, one thing that we shouldn't do is allowing our system and culture to let people to be afraid to be targeted. Not because of what they did, but because of what they look like. Evelyn Smith-Ward is a less than 5 feet tall, 100-year-old giant of a faith of our church family. This week at our midweek June gathering, her daughter, John, talked to us about Evelyn. There was always no hesitance in Evelyn to open her house to domestic violence victims. Mothers and children who fled from violence and abuse found a safe place to be, to stay overnight in Evelyn's house. Violent men would come to her house and threaten her to let him take the terrorized mom and children. Of course, Evelyn didn't let any abusive man do it. That didn't seem to be safe for her, right? But as her daughter John said, she was not afraid. Actually, John shared this story as she began by saying the very truth that fruit is obvious when it is real. Friends, as Evelyn showed us an example, and most of all, as Jesus has loved us, let's not fear to love. Let's not hesitate to accept the invitation of the Holy Spirit. This week, looking to what's happening in our country and hearing the cries of people, and I had mixed feelings, from fear to anger, from frustration to guilty, from powerlessness and to a disappointment at myself. But I decided again not to be afraid or judgmental, to do what Jesus Christ tells me to do. I decide again not to resist the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit nudges me and leads me to love in a way that is life-transforming and countercultural. We Christians ought to be known to the world by such a radical, unreserved, bold love. When we love in a Christ-like way, we transform the world. Truly, we have this power of love because God abides in us and because God continues to speak to us. So we are Christians by our love. And let's show this fruit to the world. Amen. Amen.